Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is... No, it ain't Thursday. It's Wednesday. How come it's marked Thursday? I'm sure it's Wednesday. Isn't it Wednesday, Laura? Okay, she marked off Wednesday. Okay, then that means we got to do this. It's Weasel Wednesday. It's the 10th day of... January 2018, it's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to mute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 37 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the High Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 41 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And we got a dusting of snow this morning, and the flu is going on. And I got the flu, and I feel like shit. I felt like shit yesterday. I feel like real shit today. But we must soldier on. No rest for the patriot-minded. Anyways, the thing that went down with Trump, I was real interested this morning to, see what old Alex had to say about his buddy, because we've got Ann Coulter has come out and pretty much lambasted him, and Tucker Carlson, Alex's real good friend. I mean, he came out last night and said, hey, what'd you even run for president for? We're going to run those videos, and then I'm going to talk about what Alex, how he addressed this situation, let's say. And we're going to do that as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. Let's go hang out in a mall, all mall, smoke is born. Let's go hang out in a church. Go find lunch, and we'll haul mass down through the abbey. Is it money? Is it fame? What's in a name? Shame. Is it money? Is it fame? Or were they always this lame?
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
Bringing you The Word from the Trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
As we mentioned there in opening, even in the mainstream propaganda machine, you got people like Ann Coulter, they're controlled opposition. I mean, they're no different than Alex Jones. But it is interesting that Alex stepped up, and I mean, he totally defended the shit. Did you guys know that Trump actually ran on keeping the DACA kids here, and then... what Alex said was, I thought, man, these people are listening. All these people that have sent him all this money all these years and, made him a millionaire or multimillionaire to the point that I guarantee you he got a big fat hunk of that cash, that came with those tax cuts for the wealthy industrialist in this country, because he runs a business. He runs a corporation. But I mean, he said that we're fifth generation Americans and we're fucking lazy. That's why we need these people from these foreigners pumped in here. This is son of a bitch. I mean, you talk about a turncoat piece of trash. And then he says about, you know, this, he does this for like about 3 or 4 minutes, just real quick. And he never says nothing about the fact that the son of a bitch lied. But then he turns around and he starts attacking Steve Bannon because he's the reason, you know, I told you guys the day after all this went down with Steve Bannon, with that book thing, that he said that, you know, either Steve Bannon had to go or Breitbart would go. And Steve Bannon, you know, resigned, I guess, yesterday or yesterday evening or what might have you. And so he's just Mr. Billy Badass. And he, you know, he's calling, Steve Bannon a slob. I mean, you better go look in the mirror, you fat puscule piece of shit, Alex Jones, you treasonous dog shit eating bastard. You're the fucking slob. You're a sloppy pig. And you're a treasonous pig. Anyway, this is what Ann Coulter had to say.
Joining us tonight, political commentator, conservative commentator, best-selling author Ann Coulter. Her most recent book is called In Trump We Trust. And great to have you with us. You watched the something of a love fest in the cabinet room with the president today with some, again, of the most unheralded senators serving in either party. What do you make of it?
When Kevin McCarthy is the hardliner on immigration in the room, I think we can call this the lowest day in the Trump presidency. I mean, he was clearly trying to overcome the bad press of this Michael Wolff book by showing, oh, he's in command. But in fact, what he did was fulfill every description of him in the Michael Wolff book. He doesn't listen. He has no command of the facts. He agrees with the last person who
speaks
to him.
We don't need to go through the whole damn book by Michael Wolff. It's a bunch of trash anyway.
Second,
but what I want to ask you Yes, it is. And for the purpose of this...
He was doing exactly...
Lou Dobbs is an elitist, treasonous piece of shit, by the way.
...a standalone Dreamer bill. He agrees with that. Kevin McCarthy has to step in and say, no, sir, I think we need border security first. He agrees with that. He's agreeing with people with a 60-second lag, and the Democrats are just taking the position, no, we won't take anything but the Dreamers.
Yeah, well, he says without question... He says that he's going to have the wall. The problem I have, frankly, is that there was no discussion of the sequence in which these events would occur. And we know that if the wall is not, and I mean constructed, built, before there's any discussion of quote-unquote immigration reform, we know what's not going to happen. That wall is not going to be built, is it?
No, of course not. And any amnesty is a 100% amnesty because it goes to the courts. And the courts will say, oh, you may have limited this to left-handed redheads who came here at age zero through no fault of their own. But gosh, we're going to open it up to everyone. Yeah. And then through chain migration, they get to bring all of their relatives. And actually, I can't say you're wrong. You can say anything about that press conference today, called by Trump himself. He thought this was going to be a great shining moment. At any one moment, you can say he was agreeing to anything. He agreed with DiFi. Yes, we'll have a standalone Dreamer bill, just granting everybody amnesty, and we'll get to that comprehensive immigration stuff later. No, Lou, this is a disaster. It was the lowest day of his presidency.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more about the difficulty of the day. Let me put it that way. I am an absolute committed supporter of this president. I am also absolutely, without question and unreservedly, a champion of his wall and making certain that we secure the borders before there is any talk with the... This was an assemblage of some of the worst lights of the Kennedy-McCain
yes.
Effort to create comprehensive immigration reform. And it reminded
yes.
everyone in Washington what you do when you don't have a solution is you expand the problem. They made it comprehensive. Vast.
Well,
and by the way,
and also,
still
it
no
seems
progress
as if
on it.
Trump, it seems, yes, but it seems as if Trump thinks he's going to get all this great press by giving the left everything they want. I promise you, he's not going to get good press from this. They're still going to say he has dementia. If anything, they have more arguments now with him jumping around and abandoning his base. His only hope is to be pedal to the metal, fulfill his promises, build the wall, end chain migration, and deport these Dreamers who are, again, as I said last week, they ought to go before MS-13. They are just a Mexican Antifa.
That may be one
they
of
are
your...
the worst of the illegals.
You know, and you don't like the way they create so much much trouble. By the way, the average age of the so-called dreamers, the president himself refers to them as kids. They are far from it.
He corrected himself on that. That was actually one of the high moments of the press conference. I mean, every once in a while, I could go through and give you 30 seconds where he was great. But then the next answer is, I'll take the heat. It'll be comprehensive immigration reform.
Well, he did say that.
It's not disputing the Michael Wolff book.
Well, it is. The reason I don't like the Michael Wolff book is because it's filled with trash and fraud and fiction. And Anne, you know better than to use it as some sort of compass.
Some of it
on the body.
If you actually read it, if you exclude the bad stuff, it's not that bad for Trump. It's tough on the press. It's good on the Russian
investigation. To sit here and boost a really bad book like that,
I'm sure those people told him that, and they're the ones who were hired into the White House by Trump. If he doesn't want people bad mouthing him, he ought to hire people who supported him.
Or find people of integrity, which I think he has now discovered is a decided advantage. Ann Coulter,
yes, as
always, good to have you with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Pretty pathetic, but just a part of the act. You know, it's good. Oh, man, it's just happening like we said it was going to happen. You're going to see every frickin' one of them, and it's 30 to 40 to 100 million of them are going to be made legal. Nobody's leaving. Make no mistake about it. This is Alex Jones's good buddy. This is his good buddy. But I mean, to see Alex, like I said, he talked for about 30 seconds just in rhymes. He even called Trump a ninja, whatever the hell that means, or something like that. Like judo, he's doing judo. You know, it's this deep state lying bullshit to get you to hang on for another week, another day, and just wait. Oh, something's going to happen. Really, it's going to happen when you get off your dead ass and make it happen. Here's Tucker Carlson.
It was a weird scene in Washington today. President Trump, you'll remember, ran for office promising to fix immigration, make good deals, and in general do a better job than the corrupt, incompetent lawmakers he said were wrecking the country. And he was right. They were wrecking the country. And yet today, in a remarkable twist, the president held a televised meeting with the very swamp creatures he once denounced. He told them he trusted them to craft immigration policy without his input. Then he suggested he'd be willing to accept any deal they produced, even a bad one.
When this group comes back, hopefully with an agreement, this group and others from the Senate, from the House, comes back with an agreement, I'm signing it. I mean, I will be signing it. I'm not going to say, oh, gee, I want this or I want that. I'll be signing it because I have a lot of confidence in the people in this room that you're going to come up with something really good.
At one point, the president agreed with Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California that it would be wise to handle the question of DACA separately before negotiating any meaningful reform of our broken and dysfunctional immigration system.
And I don't know how you would feel about this, but I'd like to ask the question, what about a clean DACA bill now and with a commitment that we go into a comprehensive immigration reform procedure like we did back, I remember when Kennedy was here. And it was really a major, major effort, and it was a great disappointment that it went nowhere.
I have no problem. I think that's basically what Dick has said. We're going to come up with DACA. We're going to do DACA, and then we can start immediately on the phase two, which would be comprehensive.
Would you be agreeable to that?
Yeah, I would like to do that.
Key allies very close to the president on immigration told us this afternoon they were shocked by what they saw in that meeting. It was a completely different Donald Trump from the one we watched on the campaign trail just 2 years ago. How different? Let's put it this way. Trump's rival from the 2016 race, Jeb Bush, who was on the far left of Republican sentiment on immigration questions, tweeted these words in response to the meeting, quote, encourage the president is seeking bipartisan solutions to our immigration challenges. In 2016, Donald Trump ran on the premise that America's borders ought to be real, that the repeated amnesties of the past have betrayed voters, and that this country deserves an immigration policy that looks out for American interests rather than those of foreign countries. Almost nobody in Washington agreed with him at the time. Almost nobody in Washington agrees with him now. Congress is full of people from both parties who believe that the point of our immigration policy is to provide cheap labor to their donors and to atone for America's imaginary sins against the world. They couldn't care less about immigration's effect on you or your family. Yet these are the same people the president now says he trusts to write the immigration bill, the one he'll sign no matter what it says. So what was the point of running for president? You'll remember the president also ran on his skills as a negotiator, and he clearly has skills as a negotiator. Where were they today? The president signaled he'd be happy to legalize hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants now, and then at some point in the future tackle all that other stuff, like making sure they can't bring millions of their relatives from the third world along with them. That's not much of a negotiation. Amnesty for DACA recipients is the only leverage the White House has. Once the president agrees to let them jump to the head of the line, ahead of millions of other people hoping to come here legally, the negotiation is over. At that point, why would Democrats agree to anything? Ending chain migration, the diversity lottery, supporting a merit-based system that might actually help America? No chance. The Democrats' goal is to import more Democratic voters, and by any means necessary. Once they retake the Congress and the presidency, and if Trump betrays his base in immigration, that'll definitely happen. It is over. Say goodbye to borders. They are done. Keep in mind that the top Democrat in the House recently thanked illegal aliens for sneaking into this country. That's how Democrats feel, and they're not pretending anymore. Being a Trump voter isn't always easy. It's like rooting for the underdog in baseball, the old Chicago Cubs. On one level, there is pride, the pride that comes from doing something that fashionable people consider insane. And that's a good feeling. But there's also some disappointment along the way, and honestly, there's some embarrassment. But you silently bear it because you know that when they finally win the World Series, it'll be worth everything you went through. Every sarcastic dig from your brother-in-law at Thanksgiving will seem small by comparison. In the Trump presidency, the World Series is this immigration bill. It's the big payoff. It's the whole point of the exercise. And they're not allowed to blow it.
And we have not begun to condemn them for their stupidity. You know, that's Tucker Carlson. Alex Jones is more mainstream than Tucker Carlson, than Fox News now. And people out there still sending him, you know, a patriot. He's a tip of the spear. He's the patriot movement. No, he's not. You're a fifth-generation American, and you're goddamn lazy, and we need to recolonize and get rid of your ass, take you out to a ditch and put a bullet in your head. I just can't. I want to hear somebody try to come up and defend that son of a bitch at this point. And, you know, let's just keep rolling with this. Status quo. H-1B visas will bring cheer to Indian teachees, I guess is what it says. I didn't even... Teachees. This is from the Hindustan Times. Oh, my God. The Trump administration's decision to not follow through with a proposed change to the H-1B regime has brought cheers to between 500,000 and 750,000 Indians, mostly technology workers and their families in the United States. It has also come as a result of a relief to the Indian government, which has expressed concern when news of the plan broke. This is United America for Americans, right? Whom we told you guys. I mean, I hope that you, people out there that are supporting Alex that are in, you know, you lazy fifth generation pieces of shit that are still in the technology industry. I hope you're listening. A H-1B visa holder can spend up to 6 years, two terms of 3 years in the United States, but a H-1B visa holder whose papers are being processed for a green card or residency can stay on in the country. Many Indian technology workers and their families had built their lives around the visa. Homework, life, school, everything revolved around the U.S. For these Indians. The Trump administration proposed changing the rule to ensure that H-1B visa holders could not stay on in the country while their residency application was being processed. The plan has now been dropped, along with everything else. But man, you'd think we could just sit here and revel in this. How stupid, as we sit there and screamed, you stupid idiot sons of bitches. All you people had to do, all you people that went out and made this big Trump production go over the top, all you had to do was unregister to vote. And man, something could have gave. I mean, Hillary Clinton may have been elected, but what? How would it have been if she'd have been elected with only 6 to 10% turnout, voter turnout? How would that have been? And then the accusations, because there would have been accusations, because to get to 10%, she would have had to. I swear, she'd have had to. There would have been a lot of illegals voting. And I mean, something could have actually been done with, I mean, all the work that people did to put out the truth and let you know that, you know, this is a goddamn sham. It's been a sham for a long time, all of my life. And then you turn around and what did you do? Some freak with a weird hairdo who had a goddamn reality TV show comes up and sold you a line of bullshit and you licked it up. Like I said, it would be nice to revel in it, but you can't revel in it. This is the destruction of our country. It's disgusting. Indian technology workers, U.S. companies, many of them are Indians who have become U.S. citizens, and some are green card holders. Both have enough people who once held a H-1B visa. They are the current H-1B visa holders themselves. The contribution of such workers to U.S. economy. Now, say no U.S. economy. This is a goddamn, I mean, that's why I love that, the way they come back, come at us when they're, they're good for our economy. This ain't our economy. It's a goddamn world economy. That's why we compete with the Chinese and people around the world for our own natural resources once produced, like gasoline and diesel and cars and every goddamn thing else that we used to make exclusively here in the United States. U.S. economy and especially the technology industry in the country. And boy, I mean, think about it. I mean, you people have been listening for a while. You know that back when this was all going down, when Trump was first coming up and Hillary was already ordained queen, we told you that the technology was the next thing they're coming after. This is what Trump's all about. He's a international real estate mogul. And he's coming in to finish this goddamn country off. And the only political power left in this country, as political power is measured in mammon, are the people that still hold what they're calling a middle class. That ain't even a goddamn middle class in comparison with the class above it and the one below. But we told you, they're coming for the technology jobs now. And I guarantee you, this is the only, it's not even a saving grace. Again, it's just a disgusting frickin' mess. But you people who went out there and voted for Trump, that are going to lose your technology jobs to goddamn Indians under this HB1 program, you deserve it, okay? You just fucking deserve it, because we told you. You know, we told you, don't vote. All you have to do is go unregistered to vote. It's not complicated. I did it myself. I registered to vote as a, you know, from the time I was 18 until a couple of years ago, that Ron Paul thing, you know, that was the only, I changed political parties because I went along with because everybody was saying, Ron Paul's going to do it this time. My own children, my son had donated money and they just wanted it to happen so bad. I kept telling them, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, but I'll go along with it one more time. So I registered as a Republican so that I could vote in the primaries. And you know, sure enough, Ron Paul, he was cruising right along, come right up there. And all of a sudden, he took a powder, grabbed $1 million in donations, my kids' money among it, and took a powder. And I tell you what, that ended it for everybody that I know that was actually still thinking that voting was an option. And when this shit came up with this Trump BS, it was a no-brainer. Go ahead.
Buy ammo.
You're right, brother. Buy all the ammo you can, because that's the only way this thing's going to be changed. Either that or acquiesce to going over there to that ditch, kneeling down and taking your bullet. Because you think that's extreme, but goddamn, the stuff that is happening now, we were telling you 3 years ago, that was extreme, wasn't it? It was extreme to think that any of this shit was going to go down. And during Trump's production for president, we told you this stuff. He's not actually going to go for it. He's not only not gone against it, he has stepped in like the DACA, like these foreigners put him into office to take care of him. Now he's headed over to Davos, Switzerland, to go hang out with his international elitist billionaire buddies and laugh about what he's done to us, how stupid we are, how easily fooled. But, you know, still the numbers remain. You fooled 25%, you frickin' showman. You fooled 25%. You didn't. I mean, not even that. I mean, because when you're talking about the entirety of the vote, you fooled about 15, 16, 17% of the population of about 330 million people. So you didn't fool a whole lot, and you know the way they're playing with these, you know, wanting these wars, wanting to go into Lebanon and then on into Jordan. This is still on the table. They would like to do it right now, but this shit is falling apart on them. It's just like Obama when he couldn't fire the love missiles. Nobody, if you start a war, you better be ready to go fight that son of a bitch, because our biggest enemy, we know who our biggest enemy is, and it ain't somebody over across the seas. They're right here next door. They're right there in Washington, D.C. But here we have it, you know, the H-1B visas. I think we just outlined this. They're gonna pour them in here on visas. They took out the lower jobs. You know, remember they just wanted to come here to do those jobs Americans didn't want to do. You know, pick lettuce and apples and such. Americans didn't want to do those jobs. Now they have taken every blue collar job and they're coming after your fucking white collar jobs. Just like we told you they were gonna. And you, I mean, I've heard the contempt, man. I mean, in the comments and emails and shit that you people sent. Oh, I was a dirty son of a bitch for saying it. You ain't give Trump. Trump's going to save us. Trump's a good man. He's one of us. Is he really? How is it today, you low-life son of a bitch? I get to throw it right back in your face, don't I? And I get it, you know, like I said, I can't feel good about this, but you are going to lose your job because of your fucking stupidity, because you're too dumb to breathe the same air as me. I'm sorry. Where were we? U.S. economy, and especially the technology industry in that country, is significantly large in India. Software companies, most of whose customers are in the United States. That's it, man. Take our resources, manufacture them, and then sell them to us for our country. I mean, what a scam. Also employ H-1B visa holders to power their operations in that country. Although their dependence on such workers has reduced in recent years, it is possible that the change, if the U.S. had insisted on affecting it, would have affected all those companies. The competitiveness of the U.S. tech industry and the U.S. economy itself is not a U.S. economy. It looks like an Indian economy we're talking about here. I love that. It's just this Indian factories and all this shit taking our resources and manufacturing them on our soil, and this is the U.S. economy. No, this ain't the U.S. economy. This is the Indian economy. These are fucking Indians, aren't they? Or am I missing something here? We're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Just broke down, spitting out smoke on the side of the road. I'm out here alone, just trying to get home. To tell you I was wrong, but you already know. Believe me, it won't stop at nothing. To see you, so I've started running. All that I'm after is a life full of laughter.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:36 Pacific Time, and it was Billy Joel with You May Be Right. And we're playing a lot of different music. Man, I'm so sick of hearing the same old songs over and over. If you guys have something you'd like to hear at the break, man, send me an email. We were on talking about the visas, and we're going to go on. We're going to go onward because there was one here I really want to hit. Billionaire warns of growing class conflict in the United States. This is some WS, as it was sent in by Joe STP for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. With the stock market soaring and corporate America celebrating a massive tax cut, there are increasing warnings from some business circles that the immense level of inequality is generating deep social discontent. Deep social... Man, they do not have the smallest clue of what's going on out here. An interview published in the Wall Street Journal last week, Ray Dalio, who manages the world's largest hedge fund, who just got a huge ton of that big tax break, Bridgewater Associates, warned that elevated stock valuations had not translated into higher long-term economic growth, let alone improvements for the bottom, the goyim, the peasants, the peons, the coolies, 60% of the population. This layer of the population, you see how they even talk about it. I mean, it's that, you know, the lower, the commoners, the serfs, this layer of the population, he said, ask lacked any savings, suffered a higher percentage of premature deaths, and had children destined to earn less than their parents. Of course, and it's been that way for a couple of fucking generations. His biggest worry, the Journal declared, is that the lower corporate taxes and higher stock prices do nothing for the bottom 60%. And why is he worried? Is he worried because we don't have a pot to piss in, the wind to throw it out? 100 million of our people are dispossessed and made civilly dead, living in tent cities across this country. Is that why he's worried? Because it's his conscience of households who own almost no assets, whose stagnant wages are the mirror image of expanding profit margins. No. Feeding resentment and political polarization, says Mr. Dalio, that's a weird word. If we do not have an economic downturn, I worry we will be at each other's throat. You're going to be at my throat, all four of you against a billion of us. We would be at each other's throats because we're going to come for the wealth you stole from us, and you're going to be at our throats. Boy, I look forward to that, rich boy. Dalio, who has a net worth of, ready people, $17 billion. This is why we don't have anything, because a handful have everything and they didn't get it honestly. Okay. Is no social reformer. In 2004, he infamously summed up the parasitic character of the social layer of which he is a part of by saying, the money that's made from manufacturing stuff, this is the people out there, you know, working and sweating and making something happen, is a pittance in comparison to the amount of money made from, well, shuffling money around. What shuffling money around is that goddamn stock market. See, this week, Joe buys a huge hunk of stock from Jim, and he gets a big, huge commission, millions of dollars, and next week he sells it back to Jim. And this is what they're doing for their goddamn money while you're actually out there producing the product that is the real wealth. And because there is such a discrepancy between the real wealth and this funny money made out of air, well, when they come to cash in their funny money, they're going to want your country, man. That's what they're here for. The money that's made, oh, we did that for manufacturing. Around his warning will have no serious effect on the financial oligarchy, which is demanding austerity measures, tax cuts, and deregulation. And, you know, the first thing they were going to come after, you know, this Christmas break or whatever you call it, when they go home and laugh about it all and count their cash, was to come after the Medicare and the Medicaid. You know, the old people, the poor, the weakest people, that's who they're going to attack. And they still intend to. A new survey of workers, I mean, they got to get more of their, they got to get these legals all, you know, hand them your country over, their new colonization forces in place so that they can put an army together to put you down when you finally stand up to them. A new survey of workers at 5,000 large employers by global advisory firm Wills Towers Watson found that two-thirds were feeling more on edge than they did in 2015 due to stagnant wages and higher household debt. 51% reported suffering a significant financial event in the past 2 years, including a major medical expense. 10% of workers reported taking a loan from their 401k retirement funds, because, I mean, you're not supposed to have anything in the end. I mean, they have these reverse mortgages to make sure that everything you made is, you know, it's turned back over them before you cash it in. You're not going to forward anything to your progeny because you really don't own it. It's really theirs. They're just letting you hold it until you die. Despite supposed full employment in the United States, with the official jobless rate at the lowest level in 17 years, wages only rose about 2.5% percent in 2017, barely above the official. I love this. The official rate of inflation 2.0. Man, I tell you, I live on the same money from month to month. I mean, I see every frickin' dollar, and I'm telling you right now, everything has gone up an average of a dollar just since this tax cut thing. Everything that, you know, the necessities of life. And like I told you people before, they're going to throw you $100 because that's what the average of the middle class is supposed to be, at 50,000 to, I think, 70,000. You're going to get $100. How long is that? I mean, what's $100? How long is it going to take to eat it up when they raise your power bill $20 and your water bill $30 and then your groceries go up $150? Who's really going to get that money? Them.
Diesel fuel, $3.36 a gallon in
Jesus.
California right now.
You're kidding me, man. Yeah. I mean, it's just going like we said it was going to go. I'm a little rum dummy, man. I'm feeling pretty poorly with this goddamn flu shit that's going around. So I'm not really coherent here, but I'm doing the best I can. Oh, let's see, we're at 2.0%. This is well below the annual increase of between 3.3 and 3.6% before the Great Recession. That was bullshit. The Great Ripoff. What really happened with the Great Recession, people? Oh, that's right. There was international derivatives fraud perpetrated right here in the United States under the guiding eyes of the regulators that we pay huge salaries to, huge pensions, huge retirement plans. Medical, every goddamn thing. And, of course, those people, they went to jail for that, right? Of course they didn't. Record profits is what we've seen since 2008. And who got the record profits? The people who committed the international fraud and stole it's documented, $21 trillion. It's just missing. It's just, well, we can't find it, that $21 trillion. We just got to let that go. We got to get on. We got things. Trump's going to make America great again. Forget about that $21 trillion. Until you look at the national debt. What is that national debt anyway? Oh, that's $21 trillion. Isn't that an interesting coalition of numbers? Oh, an analysis compiled by Bloomberg News of 665 contracts signed in late December showed first-year pay raises averaging 2.7% for workers overall. And you see, when they talk about this, you see there's a curve. And it goes, they talk about us being that 60% as we're just completely separated from them. But when, you know, you take that 60% and they get nothing, and then you take that 40%, especially the top 10%, especially the top 5%, especially the top 1%, and you increase their wealth by, you know, a 200%, they get a 200% raise, then they'd say, well, everybody got a raise of 2.7%. See what I'm saying? They're throwing you in the mix. When you actually got less, but the ones at the top, they got more in that. Everybody's wages went up. No, they didn't. I mean, this is the kind of shit they try to sell us on a daily basis. They'll tell you that it's averaged out across the board from that 60% who doesn't have a pot to piss in or when to throw it out right up to that 1% who own mountains of wealth, people, billions of dollars. So if them guys get a 1% raise. You're talking millions of dollars and it reflects down to us. And well, they got money too. No, we didn't. And everybody know. I mean, this is just preaching to the choir because everybody knows this. Yet it goes on and here you have this guy, billionaire warns, and he better be warning because when the worm turns, we're still armed. You haven't got our goddamn guns. We haven't traded our guns for bread to you yet, you industrialist bastard. Analysts have warned that Trump's sharp reduction in corporate taxes will encourage workers to demand significant wage improvements in 2018. Hundreds of thousands of workers in the trucking, warehouse, telecom. What you got to do is look at this as it's rolling out with the H-1B visa program. I mean, the telecom industry, well, go ahead and bitch about your wages. We'll replace you with Indians because we can. Because you are not going to do anything about it. You'll just take it. Healthcare and entertainment industries have labor agreements expiring this year, according to Bloomberg. I don't know what kind of goddamn agreements that these so-called unions, these international communist unions are making. But, man, it looks like they're. If you were a real union back in the day, I mean, not that they're all socialists. Make no mistake. There's nothing good about a union. Never needed them. We just needed to know who we are and what belonged to us. But back in the day, like with the, you know, if somebody, foreign workers come in, are you kidding me? They'd be out there with the baseball bats, wouldn't they? I believe they would have. After decades of falling wages, workers are determined to recoup lost income from companies making record profits. Well, they should have started back in 2008 because it's been record profits ever since they broke the country and took people's 401ks and broke all the little businesses across this country, all the boarded up businesses, tens of thousands of them across this country. And the people who lost everything after working 20, 30, 40 years, their homes, everything, and blew their brains out. I think instead of blowing your brains out, you should have blown their brains out. There ain't that many of them. I think everyone's going to have their hand out when it comes to the potential benefit of the tax bill. And the, how dare you put your hand out? This is the sale of Alaska, and it belonged to them to sell to the Chinese. This is their goddamn money, and you're going to have your 60% or handout. You're going to have it out to this man who has $17 billion. How dare you want any of that? How dare you think you have? But then he told you, how does he make his money? Well, that's why we just shuffle money around and the numbers go up and we just make all kinds of money. Really producing there, aren't you? Real wealth, people. But when it's cashed in, it's for your country. It's for your infrastructure. It's for what used to be your industry in this country. And pretty soon you will be kowtowing at the foot of that Chinaman. Make no mistake about it. Benefit of the tax bill, UPS spokesman Steve Gott told Bloomberg, certainly investors are going to expect to benefit, he added. Yeah, they all own stock. They're all a part of the big casino game. And, you know, when they shuffle that money around, they all do. I mean, this is the Masonic dirty church cabal. This is the son of a bitch and international money moguls. They just sit on their ass, and the money gets shuffled around by a few of them back and forth, and they show the numbers on the TV, and a big check comes in the mail. Wouldn't that be sweet for you and me? Seeing as we own the goddamn country and the only real wealth in the country, which is the resources. UPS made $5 billion in the first three quarters of 2017 after a profit of $3.4 billion in 2016. Corporations will use their tax windfall not to improve conditions for workers, but for stock repurchases, repurchase programs, and dividend payouts to wealthy investors, and to increase mergers and acquisitions, which will result in greater attacks on the jobs, wages, and pensions. The employers are counting on the continued collusion of the Teamsters and other unions faced with the danger of wage pushes. And I mean, is there anything in this country that isn't 110% corrupt? Anything. In 2015 and 2016, President Obama called in the leaders of the unions for a White House meeting in July 2015. The result was the sabotage of any unified struggle, the signing of sellout deals barely above the rates of inflation. And, you know, I told you guys this. After about 8 years of this shit, then these communists are going to come in with their unions and stuff. You got to stop them, capitalists. Capitalists, they're the problem. You either got to have capitalism or communism. Capitalism ain't it. Jesse, I mean, we're supposed to forget who we are, what belongs to us, and we're just supposed to accept one of these slave systems, I guess is all you could call them. Well, you want slave system A or slave system B, either way you go out to the ditch and you get the bullet in the head, because actually this is all stolen wealth. If you lay out the paperwork, I mean, it's blatant fraud. This is shit. You put people up against the wall. No, this is shit that you decorate your streets by hanging people on the light poles. I mean, blocks and blocks and blocks of them. See, the result was the sabotage of any unified struggle, the signing of sellout deals barely above the rate of inflation, and the isolation and betrayal of strikes in the unions. And the unions were forced to call, including by oil refinery workers, Allegheny Technology steel workers, and Verizon workers. The 10-year period between 2007 and 2016 saw the lowest number of major work stoppages since the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics began collecting data in 1947. That's because they've got a recolonization force in here. You're going to work that job. You're going to keep your fucking mouth shut. You're going to get your bowl of rice, and you're going to be happy with it. Hey, we'll replace you with that Indian, that South Korean, that Mexican, that Honduran. You'll just be replaced, you see. So shut your mouth and get to work. This is what the robber barons, when the unions first came to this country, I mean, my mother grew up in a coal camp where they had company script, and these son of a bitches worked you for a slave. And the people then, they just, because, oh, well, they pumped a lot of immigrants in is what they did. They dumped tons of immigrants in who didn't have a goddamn clue of what this country was about or who owned it or none of this shit. They just wanted to work. They just wanted a better life. And so they went down into the mines and they dug out the coal that belonged to them just to eat is basically what it come down to. And then here come the communists. Look, it's capitalism. No, what it is it's goddamn theft and fraud. That coal belongs to who? Well, John and Ted and Bob, they sit down and signed a piece of paper, said, all the coal in West Virginia belongs to Roy over there. Old Roy owns it now. And Roy, you know, he's going to give the kickbacks, the proper kickbacks, to the Masonic Lodge. And so, well, they own the coal. I guess all we can do is let them pay us 16 cents a day to dig it out. That's the only thing left for us. Instead of going and saying, you sons of bitches don't own shit. We're going to hang Bob and Joe and Roy, and we're taking the goddamn coal for ourselves. If we're going to dig it out, we're going to get everything. We're going to get it all. It belongs to us. Again, you know, here we are looking at, you know, this guy here is, they should be worried, and I'm sure they are. You know, the part where he said we're going to be at each other's throats, that pretends that he's actually a man that could stand up to anybody. He doesn't have somebody who wipes his ass. I mean, did this, these pathetic puces like the pricks on TV sitting up there all tough like that Blumenthal. I'm going to take your guns. Really? You little puny ass pencil neck bitch. Get over to my house and give her a go. I'm going to wait and I want to see you take my fucking guns. Go ahead.
You know, one of these shows, I'd like to concentrate on this Jeff Bezos piece of shit with Amazon and what he has really done to ruin this country. I mean, it's going to take a half an hour, but I mean, distribution centers have replaced Macy's and Sears yep. and Penny's and Walgreens. You know what I'm saying, Henry? The whole thing has changed for the worse.
Well, when it was set up, Mark, when it was set up,
$104 billion this guy's worth, Henry.
I know. What the thing is, when it was all set up, see, we had the resources. The people owned the resources. The people actually knew who they were. I mean, they would say constitutional rights and not understand what they were saying, but people jumped when you did it. You know, they go, we would never violate your, no, because the resources belong to us. Now, you had the billionaires that wanted to come in, and Joe and Bob and Roy wanted to sign a piece of paper and say that they owned all the oil under the ground, all the coal, all the iron, copper, silver, gold, what might have you. But the people are standing there, and they're not just going to watch, you know, the hundreds of square miles of their timber cut down and all this shit, and they're just watching. They were smarter back then. They realized they actually owned the goddamn country. And so that when they went to sell this shit to the people, they came down and goes, well, this is the deal. You know, we're going to let the, we want to have an economy, a real strong economy and a strong middle class, some security in your life. And you could even save up and have an old age. You can own a house when you die. Pass it on to your children. They are your resources. And we understand that we're going to fuck you. We're going to rip you off, but we're going to give you some pretty big scraps from your table. Okay. Some fair scraps. It's going to be enough for you to find you a little comfort zone and wallow down in it like a dog and get a good night's sleep. And so the deal was, all right, we have to manufacture it here in the United States. First place, you're not shipping our shit out of here to somewhere else to be our wood to be taken out to log ships to be logged. You know, if it's going to be manufactured, we're going to manufacture it. And you're going to make a goddamn fortune because it's going to be given to you. I mean, for all intents and purposes, the timber, the iron, the copper, all of it given to you. But you're going to have, and you're going to run your operations here. It's going to run an economy here, a consumer-based economy, and we're going to have a strong middle class, and people are going to do well, and they're going to live good lives. But once they got themselves rooted here, they just wanted to slay populace. They've never given a shit about us. And that's one thing I think people are finally starting to get through their thick heads. They don't give a shit whether you and I get up in the morning. In fact, they'd rather we didn't because they consider us useless eaters. If you're an important cog in one of their machines, they'll tolerate you. Other than that, you just disgust them being alive because, man, they need people who will lick their feet. They need third worlders who will bow, kowtow and avert their eyes when they walk up to them so that they can feel high and mighty when they have little balls the size of raisins and little dicks the size of toothpicks, and that they can feel like big tough men because, well, Mr. Mammon is their backing. So, you know, as it goes on, then, you know, it's like the Tioga National Forest up in Alaska. Now, they were getting those trees, these companies that came in on this good deal because we're going to have sawmills. It's going to be a thriving economy in Alaska for the people that come up there and work. You're going to make good money. We're cashing in the trees. Okay, so they got the trees for $1 a piece, and they set up these mills, and for 20 years, they ran them that way. You know, these little mom-and-pop mills. But then it was just too goddamn slow. I mean, people were piling up wealth in Europe faster than the ones ripping us off. We had to hurry that up. We had to speed along. So the next thing you know, we're finding out that they're cutting down our trees. They're getting them for $1 a piece, taking them down to the goddamn sound, putting them on log ships and shipping them to Japan and sinking them in Tokyo Bay for $1 a tree is all they were paying. And I don't know what they were getting from the Japanese, but they sure cut us out, the people who own those goddamn trees, out of the deal. See, the deal was you can have the trees for $1 a tree, but you're going to have sawmills here. People are going to work. We're going to manufacture it. And that's what this really all comes down to, people, is the theft of your nation. Now they're at the point where they're bringing in outsiders, Chinese in here. The Chinese, China, well, there's nothing really we can do. China owns it now. I guess you don't have no rights. You're on Chinese soil. I guess you're a Chinaman. I guess the United States merged with China, and you're just a little bastard of freedom. You got nothing. You better kowtow. You better out kowtow that chink that's been doing it for 2,000 years. You better out kowtow him if you want your bowl of rice and fish head, boy. And I'm telling you, these people like this rich prick here, he understands. I mean, they people like to live in a delusion where there's just a big mistake here, people. It's just all a big mistake. And if we could just get people to understand the mistake that's being, oh, they wouldn't want to fix it. They wouldn't want to do this to us. They love us. They tell us every day. We're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, if I don't die of this flu, for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, man, I mean, I hear you people. I mean, one fella came up, I think it's a fella from Illinois, but man, he came up on Spike's program and told about how he faced one of these pricks down. And it just gave me a warm feeling all the way through my body. If we all stand up, and I mean, you can't just say we're going to have 10,000 of standing in the crowd before we can grow a spine. Each and every one of us, in each and every situation, grow a fucking spine, stand them down. If you are of the mind that you would fight them to the death, what the hell are we talking about here? It's standing up to them? If you won't stand up to them, you're not going to fight them with guns. And that is The Word from the Trenches. Stay tuned for Hammering the New World Order with my brother Spike Timmons on Indiana Freedom Talk Radio, coming right up behind us here.